redemption, or the teachings of Christ, the Anointed One. Note to the reader, this little book is presented to the public as an assistance in studying the divine teachings of Christ as contained in the Bible. The writer, having spent many years in the study of those sacred lessons, aided by the special enlightenment of the Spirit of God, is peculiarly qualified to set forth their great truths and their practical application to the simple duties of life. The Publishers. The Teachings of Christ. Jesus at Nazareth. Soon after the temptation of Christ in the wilderness and the victories he there gained over Satan, he presented himself in his true character at Nazareth, where he was known as an unpretending mechanic. He entered the synagogue upon the Sabbath. As was customary, the elder read from the prophets and exhorted the people to continue to hope for the coming one, who would bring in a glorious reign and subdue all oppression. He sought to animate the faith and courage of the Jews by rehearsing the evidences of Messiah's soon coming, dwelling especially upon the kingly power and glorious majesty that would attend his advent. He kept before his hearers the idea that the reign of Christ would be upon an earthly throne in Jerusalem, and his kingdom would be a temporal one. He taught them that Messiah would appear at the head of armies to conquer the heathen and deliver Israel from the oppression of their enemies. At the close of the service, Jesus rose with calm dignity and requested them to bring him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. The scripture which Jesus read was understood by all to refer to the coming Messiah and his work. And when the Savior explained the words he had read and pointed out the sacred office of the Messiah, a reliever of the oppressed, a liberator of the captives, a healer of the afflicted, restoring sight to the blind, and revealing to the world the light of truth, the people were thrilled with the wisdom and power of his words, and responded to them with fervent amens and praises to the Lord. Jesus had not been educated in the school of the prophets, yet the most learned rabbis could not speak with more confidence and authority than did this young Galilean. His impressive manner, the mighty import of his words, and the divine light that emanated from his countenance thrilled the people with a power they had never experienced before, as Jesus stood before them, a living expositor of the prophet's words concerning himself. But when he announced, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," the minds of his hearers were brought back to consider what were this man's claims to the messiahship, the highest position that man could occupy. The interest of the congregation had been thoroughly awakened, and their hearts had been stirred with joy. But Satan was at hand to suggest doubts and unbelief, and they remembered who it was that addressed them as the blind and the captives in bondage who needed special aid. Many of those present were acquainted with the humble life of Jesus as the son of a carpenter, working at his trade with his father Joseph. He had made no claims to distinction or greatness, and his home was among the poor and lowly. In marked contrast with this humble man was the expected Messiah of the Jews. They believed that he would come with honor and glory, and set up, by power of arms, the throne of David. And they murmured, "This cannot be the one who is to redeem Israel. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" and they refused to believe him unless he gave them some marked sign. They opened their hearts to unbelief, and prejudice took possession of them and blinded their judgment, so that they made no account of the evidence already given when their hearts had thrilled with the knowledge that it was their Redeemer who addressed them.
But Jesus now showed them a sign of his divine character by revealing the secrets of their minds. And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Jesus read the inmost thoughts of those who were before him, and met their questioning with this relation of events in the lives of the prophets. Those men whom God had chosen for a special and important work were not allowed to labor for a hard-hearted and unbelieving people. But those who had hearts to feel and faith to believe were specially favored with evidences of God's power displayed through his prophets. By the apostasy of Israel in Elijah's day, Jesus illustrated the true state of the people whom he was addressing. The unbelief and self-exaltation of the ancient Jewish nation caused God to pass over the many widows in Israel and the poor and afflicted there to find an asylum for his servant among a heathen people, and to place him in the care of a heathen woman. But she who was thus especially favored had lived in strict accordance with the light she possessed. God also passed over the many lepers of Israel, because their unbelief and abuse of precious privileges placed them in a position where he could not manifest his power in their behalf. On the other hand, a heathen nobleman, who had lived faithful to his convictions of right and fully up to his highest privileges, but who felt his great need of help, and whose heart opened to receive the lessons of Christ, was, in the sight of God, more worthy of his special favors, and was cleansed from his leprosy, as well as enlightened in regard to divine truth. Here Jesus taught an important lesson that should be received by all who profess his name to the end of time. It was this: that even the heathen, who live according to the best light they have, doing right so far as they are able to distinguish right from wrong, are regarded with greater favor by God than those who, having great light, make high pretensions to godliness, but whose daily lives contradict their profession. Thus Jesus stood before the Jews, calmly revealing their secret thoughts and pressing home upon them the bitter truth of their unrighteousness. Every word cut like a knife as their corrupt lives and wicked unbelief were laid before them. They now scorned the faith and reverence with which Jesus had at first inspired them, and they refused to acknowledge that this man, who had sprung from poverty and lowliness, was other than a common man. They would own no king who came unattended by riches and honor, and who stood not at the head of imposing legions. Their unbelief bred malice. Satan controlled their minds, and they cried out against the Savior with wrath and hatred. The assembly broke up, and the wicked people laid hands upon Jesus, thrusting him from the synagogue and out of their city, and would have killed him if they had been able to do so. All seemed eager for his destruction. They hurried him to the brow of a steep precipice, intending to cast him headlong from it. Shouts and maledictions filled the air. Some were casting stones and dirt at him, but suddenly he disappeared out of their midst, they knew not how or when. Angels of God attended Jesus in the midst of that infuriated mob and preserved his life. The heavenly messengers were by his side in the synagogue while he was speaking, and they accompanied him when pressed and urged on by the unbelieving, infuriated Jews. These angels blinded the eyes of that maddened throng and conducted Jesus to a place of safety.